and dismiss our students to go to their classes. We have a elementary age class, a preschool age class, and a nursery class for those that want to go. And I want you to stay focused on what the Holy Spirit has already been doing in this service, what he's been speaking to us. And I want you to keep your heart and attitude there. I know sometimes we start talking and people lose track, but I want you to stay in the presence of God and stay focused on what he's saying, because I believe that it lines up with what he's been speaking to my heart actually for weeks coming up to this service. And I'm going to preach about the Holy Spirit this morning. Holy Spirit. Amen. And we need to learn and understand who he is and what he does for us. And sometimes, if we're not careful, church, we can get too zoomed in on a specific aspect of the Holy Spirit. One thing that he does, one thing that he is. And so this morning, what God began to speak to me was to give us a broader view. We're going to zoom out a little bit and have more of a panoramic view and a panoramic understanding of the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to go with me in the Bible. If you have your YouVersion Bible app, you can go to the live event there and follow along in the notes. If not, you can just go to your Bible app or your Bible and go to John chapter 14. And we're going to start reading there in verses 16 and 17. But before we go there, I want to just give some foundational information and understanding of what today's holiday is all about. So to do that, we have to go clear back to the Old Testament. And sometimes we forget this in this age of the charismatic Pentecostal church. But we forget that Pentecost actually started in the Old Testament. It was a festival that God introduced into the nation of the children of Israel and said to them that they should, and actually they're in it right now. The Jewish people are still celebrating, and they're in what's the celebration of Shavuot. It's called Shavuot. That's the Jewish festival. Our festival we call, or our celebration is Pentecost. And it's the Feast of Weeks, but there was the specific day where they would celebrate the harvest. Everybody say harvest. And that is what Pentecost is. It's a celebration of the harvest. What that means is they would take the harvest that they brought in of the barley harvest, because the barley harvest was always first. And after they pulled in the harvest from the fields, all you farmers can appreciate this, it was all done. The work was done. That was usually about 50 days after Passover when that transition would happen, and they would take and they would celebrate that day and thank God. You hear that? They would thank God for supplying a harvest for them that they could feed their families, that they could barter with and live by. And so that's what Pentecost is all about. It is a festival to celebrate the goodness of God of supplying a need for them, which is food, right? And they would bring in the barley harvest and they would make bread with it. And what's really unique about this holiday in the Jewish, the way the Jewish celebrate this is this is one of the few, if not maybe the only one, that they actually put leaven in the bread. How many of you have ever heard of unleavened bread? All right, Passover, they had to have unleavened bread. Leaven is just yeast, which means that it makes the bread to rise up. So this is the one festival that they could actually put yeast in their bread, and they would have a leavened loaf, a loaf that was rised up. So that's significant to understand that there was an active agent that was put inside of the bread that would make the bread rise up. Let me pause here for a minute so I don't start preaching on that, because that's not my message this morning, but that'll preach all morning long, right? And so we fast forward to just about 2,000 some years ago now, and they are in the process of celebrating this as Jewish people in Jerusalem. They're celebrating this festival. And in the midst of that, they are waiting. The people who were the followers of Jesus are in the upper room, the same upper room that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, the same upper room that he washed their feet in, the same upper room where he met with them and talked with them and supped with them. They're meeting there in the upper room because the last words that Jesus gave them before he left this earth and was ascended on high is he said, now you need to wait here in Jerusalem because you remember me telling you about this promise that the Father was going to send you? It's coming. So stay here. So I want you to think about this. They don't know what the promise is going to look like. They don't know what the promise is going to sound like. They don't really know what the promise means. They just know what Jesus has told them about the promise. And we're going to walk through some of those scriptures this morning, starting in the book of John here. And you have to understand that they didn't really know what was going to happen. All they knew is, this is what Jesus told us to do, and we're going to do it. Where he leads me, I will follow, right? So he told them that, listen, you need to go spread this good news or gospel around the world, but don't do it yet, because you're going to receive something. So they're in this festival called Pentecost. They're celebrating the Feast of Weeks. So there's all kinds of people that are coming to Jerusalem because that's where they like to come back to, the holy city, so they could go to the temple and do this. They're coming in, and there is a select group of people, 120 of them, that are staying in this upper room, and they're waiting for this promise. And it was on this very day, 2,000-some years ago, that Jesus birthed his church through the Spirit of God. This is how it happened. This was the birth of the church. This is not the birth of the Pentecostal movement. This is the birth of Jesus' church. And so they were waiting upon that, and that's when it happened, and that's why we call this Pentecost Sunday. I needed you to know all of that so that you can understand where this sermon, this message is taking us this morning, okay? So I want you to go with me with John here, John chapter 14. And I just want to remind you that in this chapter, this is Jesus with them at the end. He's getting ready to be crucified, and he's telling them all of these things. And he says, I will ask, or I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, or some translations say comforter, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and get this, and will be in you. Wow. Now, let's pause for a minute here and let's look at this so that you can understand something. When he begins to talk about the helper or the comforter, he clearly states who he is. All right? And sometimes we look at scriptures and we see the opaqueness of part of a verse and we don't look at the rest of the verse to understand that he's telling us, and he was telling those people that were going to be waiting for the comforter, waiting for the helper to come, he's telling them who he is. He is the Spirit of truth, right? Or the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand, if we zoom out for a second, because sometimes we like to zoom in so tight, and especially us Pentecostals, oh, man, he's the one that makes us talk in tongues. Hallelujah. And I agree with all that. I believe in that doctrine. But to see Holy Spirit as the enabler of tongue talking only discredits all of who he really is. Right? And so, listen, I'm going to say an old phrase for you young people. You're not going to understand it, but some of us more mature folks will get this, okay? I am dyed-in-the-wool Pentecostal, all right? I was raised Pentecostal. I know Pentecostal, and I love being Pentecostal, all right? Okay? I will shout the aisles with the best of them. I get excited. The Spirit of God hits me, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I got to do something, right? My preaching style most of the time, unless I feel God say, dial it back and do some teaching, right? Okay? So I am that person. And that person is telling you, do not have such a narrow view of Holy Spirit that you think he's just come so that you can shout and dance and talk in tongues. Got it? Because that belittles who he is. Do you all understand that he is the third person of the triune God? Holy Spirit is God himself. Think about it like this. To know someone's soul, to know someone's inner working of their heart, is to really know them, right? But you can see someone, that you can see their body. You can see their attributes, and you can know who that person is. But when you get to know them, you get to know something that's inside of them, right? So to know the Holy Spirit, oh, hallelujah, is to know some inner depth of who God is. It's part of who he is and how he moves in the earth. It's to know him more intimately is to know the Holy Spirit. We have to understand that. Sometimes we want to use the Holy Spirit as a gift. No, he's the gift giver. He's not the gift. He's the gift giver. Sometimes we want to use the Holy Spirit as a puppet. Do whatever we want. Some people think the Holy Spirit uses us as puppets. He comes inside of us, makes us do a whole bunch of stuff, and then leaves. What did Jesus tell them was going to happen when the Helper, who is the Spirit of truth, comes? He says that you know him because he dwells with you. What did he mean by that? Well, the Spirit of God, Jesus was full of the Spirit of God. Remember in his baptism, he came in the shape and the form of a dove. That wasn't a dove. That was the Holy Spirit, right? And it came upon him. So they recognized the Spirit of God because the anointed one who is covered in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit was with them. He was dwelling with them. But what does he say? He's not just going to dwell with you when he comes this time. When the Comforter shows up, when the Helper shows up, it's not just going to be someone that's hanging out with you like I am now. But he's going to be in you. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. We have songs that we sing. We have things that we proclaim all the time. And I don't know that we really understand what we're saying. But we're saying the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that knocked on the tomb's door and says, hey, it's time to wake back up and do what you've been called to do. That same Spirit now dwells inside of us. And he's so big because he's God. He's not limited to just a small people group. He is available to live inside of every human being that will receive him. See, Sister Betty used to be my VBS teacher and my kids' teacher. And she used to tell me when I was a little kid that Jesus wants to live inside of my heart. Do you believe that's true? I believe it's true. Do you know how Jesus comes and lives inside of our heart? The Spirit of God, the same Spirit that Jesus had when he was a person here on earth, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, and now Jesus lives in my heart. This is just a big overview But it's just, that even that is just one aspect of the Holy Spirit. So let's just kind of look at what Scripture calls him this morning. And we're going to go into these scriptures first. But the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Truth, I love that name that he goes by. Spirit of Truth. How many think that we need the Spirit of Truth to be in more power in our day and age? Amen. He is called the Helper or the Comforter. He's also referred to in this word here, this Greek word that's in John, it's referred to as the Advocate. And he's also referred to as the Counselor. So he is a helper, an advocate, and counselor. These are who he is because these are his attributes of what he does for us. Amen? How many have ever had an advocate? Right? Someone to stand beside you and plead your case, but it also help you, stand with you. Do you realize that the advocate will stand there and say, yeah, okay, Father, I know that they've messed up, but their heart is contrite and broken, and I'm bringing you back to them, and I'm bringing you back to them. Right? I'm bringing them to you, and I'm bringing you to them. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. And he advocates and says, he'll advocate for the Father on the Father's behalf and say, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. That's what we call the counselor part of him. Don't go there. You don't want to be a part of that. It's like a check you get in your spirit. No, 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 no. Wait a minute. Maybe I ought to think about that. I'm really upset, and it's time for me to reply to a text message. And you hear the Holy Spirit say, I wouldn't say that if I were you. Some people want to say, oh, it's your conscience. Let me tell you something. If it's our conscience, then there ain't much conscience left anymore. It's the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. It's the Holy Spirit saying to us, you know that when you said that, they took it this way. I know you meant it this way, but that person who you love took it this way. So you need to go and make sure they understand your intentions. It's the Holy Spirit that'll do that for you. And you can go up to your wife and say, hey, honey, you know, when I said, man, this garbage stinks, I'm tired of this, and I just meant that I need to come back later and get it out of the house, you took it as you think, well, my husband thinks the kitchen stinks, and he's always getting on me, right? I can come to her and say, did you take it that way? She says, yeah, I took it that way. That's what you were saying. No, 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 no. I was just saying that I need to go change the garbage. You say, well, that's so practical. You better believe it's practical. It's called life, and the Holy Spirit lives in us in every aspect of our life. This is what we do sometimes, though. We think that we put the Holy Spirit on the shelf when we're doing our chores at the house, when we're going to work, when we're pumping gas at the gas station, when we're buying groceries at the grocery store, and then we take Holy Spirit off the shelf because we're at church now. You know how silly that is? That's pretty silly to take God himself, who's connected with us on a personal level, who wants to live life with us every day, and put him to the side and say, I got this, God. I can buy my own groceries, God. I've been doing it for a while now. What would happen if we started praying while we're walking the aisles of the grocery store? And I'm not going to be super spiritual here. I'm not saying, oh, we're praying so that we can run into somebody who needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preach to them. Yeah, that's going to happen. Okay, but what would happen if we just started praying as we're walking the aisles of Walmart and all of a sudden we'd stop and we'd notice, oh man, mac and cheese has a rollback. That's a really good deal. Think I'm going to buy me some mac and cheese to feed my family, right? Maybe we would stop complaining about the grocery bill being so high. We didn't put Holy Spirit on the shelf when we went to Walmart. Just simple stuff like that, church. He's our advocate. He's our counselor. He's our helper. He's there to help us. And he is God Almighty. Do we understand and realize this? I mean, this blows my mind sometimes when I just sit and ponder about it. God lives inside of me, and he wants to speak to me and give me clear direction. Do you know what he is in the 21st century? The Holy Spirit is better than our Google Maps GPS. And see, sometimes we hear preaching, oh, you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. No, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. You better believe I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. But if we're not careful, we'll leave people with the impression that all of a sudden we messed up so bad the Holy Spirit has left us high and dry. But what I tell you, he's like our GPS. So when we take a wrong turn, what does Holy Spirit say? Recalculating. Give me a minute. Let me recalculate this for you. I know you've made a mistake. I don't know about you, but Google Maps doesn't come across and say, you are so stupid. Why did you turn left? I'm done giving you directions. Does your Google Maps do that for you? How many are thankful it doesn't do that? Right? You mess up. You miss an off-ramp in Florida when you're on vacation because your wife's holding the phone because she has to see where we're going. But then she likes to have conversation with you and talk with you and forgets to tell you the upcoming turn. And this is before we could hook it to our sound system, so I can't hear it. I can't see it. She is the one guiding me. And as we're passing the off-ramp, she goes, oh, you were supposed to get off there. Right? Recalculating. We found our way back where we were supposed to be. Do you not understand that's what the Holy Spirit does for us? Church, sometimes we're so uptight trying to get it just right, figuring everything out. You know what we're doing? We're trying to do God's job for him. The Holy Spirit was poured out on that day of Pentecost so that we could now live a life that is reliant upon him and his direction to us, instead of us relying on ourselves. Paul said it like this to one of the churches. He says, have you ever seen a dog go back and lick up its own vomit? It's disgusting, right? So why are we going back to old ways of doing, old ways of thinking, trying to do things our own way, and we always end up in a mess when the Holy Spirit is available to us to guide us and to teach us and to advocate for us? See, this is who he is. He's the helper. You know, the Holy Spirit will help you grieve properly. That's what he's there for. Notice how I said that. I didn't say the Holy Spirit helps you overcome grief. Yeah, that's true too. But to get you to overcome the grief, he helps you to grieve properly. The Spirit of God will sit with you right in your grief. Like in the Bible, when they used to sit down and put sackcloth and ashes on their head and sit there and mourn and grieve, Holy Spirit sits down there with you and says, yep, it hurts. Man, it hurts. And we're going to just feel this pain for a minute here. But by the way, know this, I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going anywhere. I am right here with you. Then all of a sudden, he taps you on the shoulder. Okay, now let's get up. You've been sitting here for a while now. Let's get up. He didn't say, hey, go straighten yourself up. He said, let's just get up. It's step by step. Notice that? The first step is let's just stand up now. Still got your sackcloth on. Still got your ashes on your head. Holy Spirit starts guiding us and showing us what's the next step in our grief. Holy Spirit will give us wisdom when we don't have wisdom, will give us knowledge when we don't have knowledge. Why? Because he is God, so he knows all, he sees all, and he understands all. I'm going to tell you an old story. People don't want to believe this stuff, but it's true. It's talking about a GPS, right? Before the days of GPS, there was a woman of God in Kentucky, down in Kentucky. She was a prophetess. God would speak to her and speak through her. She lived a holy life where she just wanted to hear from God. And she lived every day depending upon the Holy Spirit to hear from them. And they knew that this man of God needed to be their pastor because they didn't have a pastor of their old country church. And they were praying and they were praying, and God said, this is the man to pastor you. And they said, well, we don't know where he lives. We don't know where he's at. Some of you have heard this story before. We don't know how to get a hold of him. We have no address. We have no phone number. And this is, like I said, before technology. So one day she calls her nephew up, says, hey, come pick me up. Where are we going? We're going to get that preacher man to be our pastor. Well, how are we doing that? Nobody knows where he's at. She said, yeah, but God does. And God told me to call you to drive me. And he's going to give me directions. Now get this. This old lady, this old hillbilly lady, and I say that from the all the love in my heart, because that's my family. That's my people, right? This hillbilly lady bows her head. She ain't even looking where the car's going. Her eyes are closed. Her head is bowed, and she begins to pray in the spirit. And she would say, there's a road come up here on the left. There's a white mailbox before you get to the road. Take that left road. Turn left. There's a gas station up here on the right. Just past that, there's going to be a road. Turn right on that road. And the Holy Spirit began to give her directions, play by play, just like a GPS that we have nowadays. And they pulled up to this house. They knocked on the door. They said, hey, is this preacher man here? They said, yeah, he's here. How did you know he's here? And they said, well, what do you mean? He said, this is not even his home. He's here visiting us. He doesn't live here. So it's not like they went to his house and found out, oh, he's not there. Oh, we got to go up the holler a little more ways and find him. No. They went right to where he was because God knows everything. So what am I saying? I'm saying we have become so reliant on what we know that we've lost the understanding of how to just trust God. To be God. This is important. You need to write this down if you're a note taker. We live in an information era where you can get information at your fingertips constantly. You're just getting it. And you want to know something? I mean, we're watching a show and we'll Google it. We'll have a question. We'll Google it. What does that mean? What is this? I wonder when this show aired. I wonder when, all the time. Information always right there. Well, because of that, it has trained us to think that we need to know everything all the time. It has. You know why anxiety has gone up in our society? Because you cannot know everything all the time. But the expectation is, I need to know everything all the time. So I worry about it when I don't know. Young people are freaking out because they don't know what their future holds, and they have all of this information bombarding them and telling them who they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing, and it just builds anxiety in their hearts. Listen to me very closely. Even us older people, we don't know what the next step is. We don't know what the next step in our career is. We don't know if we should be getting a raise or not. We're searching things, and we're searching on the internet, and we get all kinds of information. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more aches and pains I have, and if I'm not careful, I'll start searching the internet about this thing and that pain and that thing and what it could be. And next thing I know, I think I have 5 different cancers and I'm going to die tomorrow. So anxiety builds in my heart. I have really good news for you this morning. We don't have to know, because God already knows. And he lives inside of us. And he'll notify us when we need to know. I'm going to say that again. He will notify us when we need to know. It's trust. It's how the Holy Spirit works. So let me dive back into some more of these verses here so we can get through this. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep on preaching all day long. So what he wants to do is have a relationship with us, a relationship with the third person of the Godhead. And so the Holy Spirit helps us by comforting us. The Holy Spirit advocates for us. The Holy Spirit counsels us by teaching us and guiding us. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to do things that we cannot do. So verse 26 in the same chapter, John chapter 14, verse 26 says this. But the Helper, again, he tells us who the Helper is. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He, everybody say he. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, I used to hear this preached as a kid. And I'd find out I got a pop quiz on Monday morning when I walk into the classroom. And I'd say, oh, Holy Ghost, help me. Bring back to my remembrance. And you know what the Spirit of God would say back to me? I can't bring it to your remembrance if you didn't know it in the first place. So we have to be careful here where we don't let our brains fall out of our heads. There's a balance to this scripture. He says, when the Helper comes, who is the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is Jesus speaking. So Jesus already taught them these things. They learned these things. But how many know we can be forgetful? So we have someone inside of us that comes along and says, hey, do you remember when God said this to you? Do you remember reading this verse of scripture? And sometimes I'm bad with numbers, so I can't tell you chapter and verse. But when the Holy Spirit needs me to, he will remind me of what the verse said. I don't know where it's at in the Bible, but I know it's in the Bible. Why? Because I read it. Sometimes we want to just do this osmosis thing. Let me put the Bible up to my head and Holy Spirit, put it in my mind. No. He brings it to our remembrance. He teaches us things by saying, hey, go read your word. You need to read it right now. Right? He shows us these things because he's our helper. He's our advocate. He comes alongside of us, and he teaches us and counsels these things. But we cannot just say, oh, well, yeah, I know. God's going to, and let me say this with all respect in my heart. There used to be a saying that would say, well, you know what? If you're called to preach, open your mouth and God will fill it. But God wants us to prepare what God would have us to say. God wants us to have experience for those of us that are just living life with him, that when we go to share and be a witness, we have an experience with him that we can share that's based on biblical truths and the foundation of the Word of God. Right? See, sometimes we get so far off track because we get stuck in this ideology that God's going to do everything for us. But then we let the pendulum swing the other way, and we think, well, God helps those who helps themselves. I got to do everything myself. No. It's in the middle. is we're walking with God and God's walking with us. You understand? And that's why the Holy Spirit came. That's what Jesus, because Jesus was walking with them and they were walking with Jesus. And he says, now I got to go back and be seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm going to ascend on high, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send somebody to be with you every day. And it's going to be even better. Why? Because I was just with you, but he's going to be in you. I keep going back to that because you got to get a hold of that this morning. God lives inside of you and he will speak to you. So I want you to go to the next chapter with me, John chapter 15, verse 26. It says this, but when the Helper comes, still talking about the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Now, I want to be real clear about something this morning. If there is something telling you that you need to pursue something other than Jesus, it is not the Spirit of truth. It is not the Holy Spirit. Because the Word tells us right here, remember, we have to have experiences that are based on biblical truths, right? The biblical truth is this, that when Holy Spirit came, all he ever does is testifies or witnesses about Jesus. So he points people to Jesus. That's why we tell and teach that no one can be saved unless the Holy Spirit draws them to the foot of the cross, brings them to Jesus so they can see who Jesus is and they get a revelation that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, both of those, by the way, not just one of them, right? The Holy Spirit is the one that's revealing that to them. He is the witness. That's why we have signs that happen that are gifts to us from the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit doing? He is teaching the world and showing the world who Jesus is. You grasping this, understanding this. So when we have people who begin to propagate a gospel that props them up more than it does Jesus, they have gotten things skewed in their own mind and they think their gift is better than, bigger than God himself. And that is not true. It's not about the gifts, people. Church, it's not about just the gifts. And I got news for you. Where I already shared with you this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the gifts are listed. It was a letter to a church who, this church was so immature that Paul had to begin to give them instructions on how to mature. But guess what? The gifts were active in the church. And Paul didn't write to them and say, hey, by the way, this stuff you're doing is not of God. He said, that's not a prophetic word. That's not a gift of tongues. It's not. No, he said, these are a gift of tongues. This is a prophetic word. This is the gift of faith. This is the gifts of healings. This is the working of miracles. Right? He said that these are the things happening among you. He describes them. They are. He said, but here's your problem. You have no maturity on understanding on how to operate them correctly. So let me give you some wisdom in doing this. And oh, by the way, just because you can talk in tongues doesn't mean you're a mature Christian. You guys' toes get stepped on a little bit there. Mine did. That's not a sign of maturity at all. You know what the sign of maturity is? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You see, he wants to do more than just empower us to be able to perform some amazing thing by God's power. He wants to empower us to live a life of maturity with Jesus Christ that people say, hey, there's something different about those folks over there. And it ain't because they talk in funny languages.
It ain't because they get excited and run around the church. There's something different in their attitude. There's something different in the way they present themselves. It's something different in the way they love people. And they just can't find someone that they don't know how to love. What if we became that church? That we just love everybody. But don't you know what they said about you? Yeah, I know what they said about me, but that's okay. I love them anyway. But don't you see how bad they treat you? Yeah, I see how bad they treat me, but I love them anyway. I choose to love. Why? Because Jesus chose to love me when I was a dirty, rotten scoundrel stuck in my sin. He came and picked me up and gave me new life. And if he did it for me, he can do it for them too. That is the gospel. And that is why we have been given the Spirit of God to bear witness of who Jesus is. So I love this, because you got to begin to see this correlation. And I've been trying to get to this passage of Scripture all morning long, and I've not been doing a very good job at it. So Holy Spirit is coming. He's been promised that he will show up. And when he comes, he's going to be a helper. He's going to be an advocate. He's going to be a counselor. And he's going to do this one thing in his advocation, in his counseling, in his helping us. What is his one thing? He's going to bear witness of Jesus Christ, right? But get this. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when or after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, my Bible doesn't stop there. Does yours? No. Why is it sometimes we stop? You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why are we getting power? What's the reason that we've been empowered by the Holy? What is it there for? Well, he says, and you will be. You will be. You will be. You will be. And you will be. And we will be witnesses. In Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The reason the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has come is because when he shows up, he will bear witness of Jesus Christ. And when he empowers us, when he is in us, he empowers us to be a witness of Jesus Christ. That is the main reason the Holy Spirit comes in our life. And this is where it breaks my heart, church. We treat him like a party trick. We treat God himself like it's just something we can do when we all get together and have fun. But did you feel the presence of God? Let me tell you something. I've been in some of the most horrible places and felt the presence of God. Ungodliness all around me, but I could still feel the presence of God. Why? Because he's in me. He's in me. You know what? I can go to church anywhere. I need you all to hear this. I can go to church anywhere and feel the presence of God. I don't care what denominational name is on their sign. I can feel the presence of God. Why? Because he lives in me. And the reason he's there is not just so I can get Holy Ghost goosebumps. It's not just so I can feel good about myself. He's there so I can bear witness of who Jesus Christ is. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. This is something I could never understand. The people who preach about the Holy Ghost the most are the ones that almost were the worst of witnessing sometimes. We're afraid to share what we know. We're afraid to talk to people and love on them. We've isolated ourselves at times, church. We've pushed in ways like, well, they're not like us, and they're not going to like us. So let's just leave them be. Let's leave them alone. When Paul told us that if the gospel be hid, it's not hidden to us who know it. It's hidden to those who have never heard it before. The whole reason that Pentecost happened is so that the world could know who Jesus is. Think about it. They couldn't stay in the four walls of that upper room anymore after that day. And suddenly, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting down. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, that means the feast was full on. There was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And suddenly appeared them split tongues of fire, clothing tongues of fire, upon every one of their heads. And they all began to speak in another language as the Spirit gave them the ability or the utterance to speak it. And this noise was sounded abroad. And people from every nation began to hear from their own tongues the wonderful works of God. It couldn't be contained with 120 anymore when the Holy Spirit showed up. This is why Jesus said, now wait, you're going to go share my gospel, but wait until you receive the empowerment from on high. Wait, because when you do, I'm going to empower you to be my witness. And so it got so crazy, it created such a ruckus that all these people began to walk through the streets of Jerusalem to hear and to see what was going on. Some people thought they were drunk in the way they were acting, but they said, no, it's too early in the day, and they don't have strong enough drink at that day and age to get drunk that quickly. It was impossible. They knew it wasn't because they were drinking. And Peter stands up, the one that denied Jesus, by the way. The one in his own power and his own strength cursed and said, no, I'm not part of them people. Now all of a sudden he's standing up. Don't you love it? Don't you love how Jesus redeems everything? I love the redemption story. He stands up with the 11 and he begins to preach. He says, these people aren't drunk like you think they are. They've received something new. It's a new wine from heaven. This is that has been prophesied by the prophet Joel. That on my sons and daughters and my handmaidens I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What does prophecy do? It speaks about Jesus. It's a witness of who Jesus is. He begins to preach to them, Jesus, whom you crucified. He tells them. The man that you put to death on the cross, he sent us this spirit. And if you repent and be baptized today, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. And 3,000 people came to Jesus in one moment when the Holy Spirit showed up. Church, we got to stop belittling the third person of the triune God. And we got to begin to realize that he has empowered us to tell the world around us who Jesus is. That's the Holy Spirit. He's God. He emboldens us when we're not bold enough to do it. He causes people that are unlearned to be able to read scripture and preach from it and preach with a passion and a fire that people will get saved and transformed and changed. He gives He begins to move in educated minds and cause them to realize that, wait a minute, what I thought was true is not true. And now I see the truth, the way, the life. And now I can take the intellect that God has given me and the education that God has given me, and I can prove God's existence and help other people like me understand who he is. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit guides us, leads us, teaches us, and talks through us. And you want to know the main reason that we have the gift of tongues? It's not so that we can edify ourselves and feel good about ourselves. It's so that the Holy Spirit can teach us how to talk with God. And then you can turn in your known language and begin to speak the truths of God as the Holy Spirit is giving you the utterance to do so. It's training yourself. That's why Paul said that we should pray in tongues all the time. We should speak in tongues. Because we're training ourselves and we're exercising ourselves in godliness. We're preparing our tongue to be used by God himself. Why? Because people need to know who Jesus is. It's the point of it all. It's the point of it all. Because what is Pentecost about? Here's full circle for you, okay? It's about the harvest. Pentecost is about the harvest. So the Holy Spirit shows up on the day of Pentecost so he can enable us to be witnesses of who Jesus is, so Jesus can pull in the harvest. And we can celebrate the harvest of souls being saved, lives being transformed, minds being made right. It's the whole point of it, church. And so here's the deal. We can keep hanging out in our upper room, 120 of us, saying we're waiting, we're tarrying. But guess what? He already came. Or we can begin to be like the first church, and everywhere we go, whatever we're doing. You know what spread the gospel? History says this. Not even the Bible. History says this. You know how the gospel spread so quickly? Merchant routes. That people would get saved and their job was a merchant, and they'd be traveling, taking goods to another place, and everywhere they went, they just kept talking about Jesus. They kept witnessing about Jesus, telling everybody about Jesus, and this gospel began to spread across the world, the known world at that time, because these people couldn't keep quiet about Jesus because they knew that the Spirit of God that lived inside of them had empowered them to share Jesus with the world. Oh, by the way, this was a time where they could be put in prison for doing it. Church, we live in the freedom of America. God bless America. We live in a free country that says we can meet together. We can gather together and preach about Jesus and talk about Jesus. And we can go in our workplaces and share and witness about who Jesus is to us. And we don't do it. See, today is about a renewal. If they can come back to the music. It's about a renewal. To say, hey, I have the Spirit of God in me so I can tell people about who Jesus is. I want to bear witness. I want to be a witness of who Jesus is. Yeah, he's going to be my GPS. He's going to guide me. He's going to speak to me. If I get off track, he's going to say, hey, let's recalculate this thing and get back on track. But it ain't just about me. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the selfishness that we have in our society. And I'm ready for people to start caring about other people again. And that changes with me. That's where it starts. It starts with me. I don't know about you, but it starts with me. Am I going to start caring about people again? Am I going to start loving people again? If I have been convinced that this is the truth, why wouldn't I share it with other people? Right? If I'm convinced in my heart that Jesus is Lord and his blood is powerful enough to save me, And I receive that work of the cross. And I also believe that he rose from the dead. And I'm convinced that he did. Why did he do that? So that I could be raised to a new life. That his same spirit now lives in me. If I'm convinced of that awesome, powerful thing that God did, why wouldn't I share it with other people? That's what we need to begin to ask ourselves. And we need to pray, God, give us the boldness to be your church in this generation. Because he's calling us out. If you stand to your feet this morning, see, Holy Spirit sends us, tells us to go. And I'm going to invite you to come and pray. But before we do that, I want to pray over my brother. And I want our brothers to pray. Brother Andy, come on up here. I know some of you have been asking where he's, you haven't seen him. How is he doing? Where has he been? I've been talking with him. Just so you know, we've been talking together. He feels like God is directing him to another place. Holy Spirit's leading him. And he feels like God is, he lives in Findlay and God is placing him in Findlay to do a work in Findlay. And he's with our brothers and sisters, because how many know we're part of the kingdom of God, right? So we're going to send him forth today. Now, we've talked about this a lot. This is home. This always will be home. And he'll be in and out visiting with us and stuff like that. But we want God's will for our brother. How many want God's will for our brother, right? And how many know that we can lay hands on him and send him forth in the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work of God that God would have him to do? Whether he's coming to church here or not, he's part of who we are, right? So let's just pray for our brother right now. Like I've been preaching, he's going to bear witness. Amen? He's going to bear witness of who Jesus is. Come on in here close. Father, we thank you so much for our brother. We love him. We love him so much, and we are so grateful for the love that he has in his heart, not only for you, God, but for us. He's our brother, and we lay hands on him right now, and we send him forth in the power of the Holy Spirit to be guided by you and directed by you. We see the call upon his life, the office, the gift of the evangelist, Lord, that he shares the good news of Jesus. And we thank you for the doors that you're opening and the doors that you have opened, Lord. And we send him forth to move through those doors right now and to proclaim Jesus with a boldness that he never has before. Now, we're thankful that he's close by. We're still going to get to see him. We're still going to get the fellowship with him, God. But we know that you have plans for him, and they are plans of good and not evil. And we send him by the power of the Holy Spirit right now to speak forth your word, to be your mouthpiece, Lord, to share in the Findlay area and to connect with the people that you want him to connect with in the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, that you're building those connections and you're strengthening your kingdom through our brother. We love him and we send him forth in power this morning. We're so grateful that we get to do life together, Lord. We're grateful for our brother. We're grateful for the anointing of God that rests upon him. In Jesus' name, we proclaim these things and we give you thanks for it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Now, let's just go find a place to pray. If you feel like you need to pray with people, love you, man. If you feel like you need to lay hands on somebody, pray with them. Maybe you're seeking. Maybe you've never experienced speaking in tongues. This is a great day to do it. Pentecost Sunday. Maybe you're just seeking more of God. Maybe you're seeking a boldness of God. Maybe you're like, man, I just need to be able to step out in faith and do what God's calling me. Now is the day to pray. Right now, let's move into an atmosphere and an attitude of prayer and let God begin to speak to us. We've already been saying it, and God spoke to us this morning. We can't stay where we've been anymore. It's time to step out and move into what God has for us. Come on, people are already up here. Don't stay in your chair this morning. Let's move out and let's receive what God has for us. Let's dive into prayer and let's let God be God in our lives. Amen.